Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, formerly known as Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking a bit about services and conditions for the blind in Panama.
We'll be talking with Ted Henter and Mauro Avila about what things are like now and what they are doing to improve the lives of the blind. We'll discuss social, educational, and transportation issues, and towards the end of the show, we'll be talking about their virtual pencil project to make mathematics more accessible. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Mauro Avila.
Well, no matter how limitations you have, and I mean technical limitations, few services, you know, the thing is, when you want to do things, you can, you know, use your intelligence and creativity to do the things that you like to do. Maybe not in the exact way you imagine it first, but, you know, once the things get done, you feel the satisfaction to do it, to have done it. Try new things. It's pretty common. I've seen blind people who get into routines and get into the same stuff as because it's a comfort area, you know? But I have learned that maybe when you feel comfortable into a place, maybe it's time to get out. Because when you get comfortable into a place, you are in the border, in the edge to become routinary and, you know, static.
And we've heard very similar advice many times in this show from many of the people we've interviewed who have overcome great challenges, either with their vision or with other aspects of their life, in terms of their inner motivation and their drive, just enabling them to overcome these challenges and accomplish some amazing things.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Ted Henter and Mauro Avila. Now, we previously met Ted in show 1233, and his name may be very familiar to you already. He was the originator and developer of the JAWS screen reader, and we talked with him about his contributions to assistive technologies and what he's up to now. So, Ted, we've had you on the show before, but can you reintroduce yourself?
My name's Ted Henter, H-E-N-T-E-R, born and raised in the Panama Canal Zone in Central America, 1950, went through high school there, and a year at junior college. Grew up sighted, water skiing, surfing, raced go-karts, raced motorcycles. I came to the States to go to college, and I raced motorcycles professionally, road racing. Here in the States, and I was in the international racing as well in Canada and Venezuela. And I was in eighth place in the world championship in 1978 when I was blinded in a car accident in England. While racing, I also got a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering from the University of Florida because I'd always wanted to be an engineer and to design racing cars. So then after I was blinded, that was kind of a tough shock, as you might imagine, but I was confident that I could succeed. I didn't know exactly how, but I was pretty sure I would make it.
So you were blinded as a result of this car accident?
Yeah.
And how old were you at the time?
27.
Ah.
I knew, well, I don't like this news, but there must be some good going to come out of it. But I had 10 minutes of despair until I got this nice warm feeling come over me. And I had my wife. We'd been married a couple of years. And I had my parents. They're great parents. Had a good support system around me. So that was in England. I came back to the States after spending about 6 weeks in the hospital over there because I broke my leg as well in the car accident. And then as I recovered, I did some rehab training with Division Blind Services here in Florida. That was very important. I couldn't get a job as an engineer, so I went back to school, learned how to be a computer programmer.
And Mauro, can you introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Mauro Avila. I'm from Panama. I have 34 years old. I'm blind, or legally blind, specifically from 22 years old. Well, what else? I'm an industrial engineer. I have a degree in industrial engineering. I have been working in information technologies about 10 years. Right now, I'm taking a master's degree in computer science, trying to drive my career in research and development.
How did you meet Ted Henter?
I met Ted about 8 years ago because a friend of mine, he had his email address, and I asked to this friend if I could have Ted's email, and he said, hey, no problem. And he sent it to me, and I wrote an email to Ted. And, well, Ted answered the email, and then we started emailing for about a year before met face-to-face here in Panama. Ted was the ideal person to talk about programming and being blind and those kind of stuff.
What caused your blindness?
I have retinitis pigmentosa. I don't know how can you pronounce it in English, but it's RP. I have a diagnosis about 5 years old, but it started to manifest about my 18 years old. When I was graduating from the United States, you call high school, it accompanied me all my college. Ironically, when I graduated from college, my sight was more affected. I start to use a cane for guiding about 22 years old.
If you had to describe your vision now, how would you tell people that you see?
I can describe it with shadows and shapes.
So you don't have any usable vision for reading print?
No, at all. I cannot read.
So did you ever learn Braille?
Well, when I start to use my cane, I got in touch with a lot of Panamanian blind institutions. I felt into Blind Adults Rehabilitation Center. They help adult people who is going blind for any reason. So they train those people in Braille, in orientation stuff, using the cane, and other stuff is for daily life. There I learned Braille and use a cane. That's the two only things I did there.
How did you two start working together?
When I first started working with Moto, we've been helping him out with his college, and I just told him we'd help him out with expenses if he would just make a point to help other blind people once he gets a job or gets his education or whatever he can do to be sure he helps out others down there. So, and he's talking about getting a PhD and working at the college he goes to now or other colleges, around the world. He's a motivated kid.
Now, in the rest of the show, you'll be hearing about some of the things that Ted and Mauro together are doing to improve the lives of a lot of blind people.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is services and conditions for the visually impaired in Panama and what Ted and Mauro are doing to improve that situation.
Yes, you put us in touch with your friend Mauro. In one of his initial communications with us, he talked about sort of the paucity of governmental resources and services in Panama. And I wonder if you could talk a little about that.
Well, there's not much to talk about. That's the problem. There really isn't a lot of services for blind people or people with other disabilities. There is a National Association of Blind People, but they're not funded by the government, so there's not much money there. They do have a workshop-type program going on where they'll build basic things like brooms. But it's not a lot of opportunity for education or transportation. Transportation is fairly difficult. I mean, most people ride buses there, but still it's difficult to get around town. And, there's two universities, but they're not prepared for blind people either. They don't have the adaptive technology or, the training to deal with blind people going to college. But there's just not a lot of good services and not a lot of good laws either. I have a guide dog now, so I can't just walk off the airplane and go into the country because they don't understand the things about guide dogs. So I got to get health certificates, got to get it stamped by the USDA, got to get it stamped by the Panamanian consulate. And then when I get off the airplane, I got to have a vet check the dog and, stuff that we don't have to put up with in other countries, at least most of them.
So do you have to start from square one and go through all that paperwork every time you enter Panama with the same dog and it's several times a year?
Yep. You have to do all that paperwork within 30 days of traveling.
Jeez.
Terrific.
It's another $200 or $300 to get all that done. And then once you get the dog down to Panama, they're not welcome in the restaurants because there's no laws about that there. And I've just been refused admittance to restaurants.
Wow.
With my dog.
Do you have any idea why there are so few services and programs for the visually impaired?
You know, there's so many poor people. There's some very rich people there now. But the middle class, it's growing, but it's not like we have here in the U.S. and we'll have had in Western Europe. So there's just not a lot of tax money to go around, you know, for these social services and stuff like that. I think in the culture, too, there's not a lot of people pushing it, you know, trying to get it done. And I think a lot of other countries in Latin America are the same, you know. You're dealing with still what you would call the third world. And there's a lot of able-bodied people that are extremely poor. They can't find work. They can't get an education. So it's just tougher on people if you've got a disability. One more thing about Panama. There's a lot of villages and small towns, you know, where naturally blind people are, but they don't have access to the services there, what little services there are. Most of them are in the capital city, you know, which is Panama City. Besides very few services being available, when you're outside Panama City, there's virtually none. So it's real tough to get the services to the people because some of them live 20 miles off the paved road, you know, a dirt road, very difficult to go through. Maybe it's up in the mountains. There's just a lot of rural areas there that are just not well served.
Yeah, that has to make it particularly difficult if you can't get to the people and connect people.
Yeah, and the people out there in those out-of-the-way places, they're not aware of what should be done for the blind daughter or sister or whatever it happens to be. So they're not out there beating the bushes for the right kind of services like, you know, like we see around here in the U.S.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, they probably don't even have electricity and other things that we assume are fairly basic.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. There's this a blind brother and sister that I know, and this little town nearby where my house is, and they live in a little hut with a dirt floor. A lot of people live in a very primitive situation.
Wow.
So to get those type of people now, somehow that guy that lives there is the blind kid, is very smart, and he goes to this adult training center, the Patronato Luz del Ciego, and he's a great musician. But, you know, that's the type of primitive living conditions that a lot of people have.
That's really different than what we're used to in the United States here.
Yep. And it is a beautiful country. There's a lot of beautiful rivers, lakes, beaches, some mountains. I kind of like it because you're not always in a real civilized area.
So you talked about using a cane to navigate around the city. Ted indicated that they don't let you use guide dogs and take them to restaurants and things like that. Is that right?
Here in Panama, we have another legal void about that because there are not legal figures for animal companions. I remember a movie I have seen a lot of years ago about the guy who started all the stuff with guide dogs in the United States, and it was something like a legal confrontation to get authorization to guide dogs into the human lives. So restaurants, transportation, things. That thing are missing here in Panama. You can have a dog, but no matter if it is a guide dog or is your pet, it's still being a dog. As an animal, sanity rulers will rule on it. Because, as I told you, Panamanian law do not consider the case of guide dogs, for example. The regular buses, for example, do not consider animals into them. All buses and the new one. It was up to the bus driver. But, for example, you cannot confront them to talk about how good it is to have a guide dog because, for law, here in Panama, they're still being dogs. Only dogs.
Yeah, Ted says when he brings his dog to Panama, he basically just leaves it at home and does all his traveling either by cab or getting a ride from somebody because he gets frustrated with the public transportation system and the fact he can't take his dog with him.
Besides not making accommodations for service animals, are there other issues for blind pedestrians?
I can put in a specific example. In the college I'm right now, is the border of one of the main streets, main roads in the city. There is one traffic signal with sound in the next bus stop from the college, because I have a bus stop in the main entrance of the college. That's good. And I have the two bus stops, one on the side of the college and one on the side across the street. But the sound traffic signal is in the next bus stop.
So you have to walk quite a ways.
Well, actually, it will spend time. And sometimes I don't have that time. And I need to cross the street with help because it is a four-way road. For example, I cannot cross it by myself. I need to have help. If I get off from the bus in the other bus stop, I need to walk up to get back to the college. And it will take time. Sometimes here in Panama, traffic's pretty bad. I can arrive very late if I do that. And ironically, in the middle of the college, you don't have the signal. But the next bus stop is in a price mark. I don't know why they put it there and they don't put it into the college.
And maybe you can also tell us a little bit about the current educational practices for young children in Panama.
Here in Panama, for example, from about 7 years ago, not so much, maybe 6 or 5 years ago, policies about handicapped people, disabled people change a lot. We start here in Panama a program of inclusion in education. Before that, here in Panama, we have something like a legal void about where is the right place for disabled people into the educational system. Now, we know where is their place, it's into their classrooms. Boys and girls with disabilities, they are included into the regular educational system. That's good.
So they do what they call mainstreaming? They bring the visually impaired people right into the classroom with the sighted kids?
Yes.
Well, when you were a kid, you could see better, so you went to a regular classroom through high school and college?
Yes, I was into a regular educational system, well, all my educational period.
Ted, I gather you and Mauro are working at the Helen Keller School for the Blind, trying to set up a computer lab. Can you talk about that?
At the Helen Keller School, it's a very poorly financed government run school down there in Panama, they have about 60 kids, blind kids, low vision kids. Some are deaf and blind. Some of them are orphans, so they live at the school, and the school provides at least, you know, lunch for all the kids. So over the years, we've bought them an industrial type stove for the kitchen and a freezer, a refrigerator, an air conditioner, and the NFB has actually donated a couple hundred canes for the kids, and I was amazed to find out they didn't really have any mobility training, at least not at the young age. And friends have donated backpacks and stuffed animals and a variety of things over the years. So finally we started to realize, well, they really need some computer training. Years ago, I gave them a bunch of JAWS for the school, then come to find out later on that they weren't actually teaching the kids with the used JAWS. So since we raise money with our Cayuco racing activities, and now we've had a couple fundraisers and friends have donated, but a little over a year ago, we decided we should do something more serious about the computers. So right now, the school's given us a nice big room. It's about 24 feet by 30 feet. We got a friend to go in there and paint the room for us. Another friend's going to do the electrical wiring. He's a retired electrician. Another friend has a bunch of Ethernet cables and knows how to do the connections and stuff, so he's going to take care of that for us, wiring up the computers and the router, the hub, and a Wi-Fi router, so kids can walk in and, you know, if they've got a cell phone or, you know, some other device, a Wi-Fi device, they can get on the internet there. And we're hooking up an electrical outlet at each workstation, you know, with four outlets. So that besides the computer, the kids can plug in an MP3 player, a recorder, or charge their cell phone, whatever. And workstations, we didn't like the desk you could buy. So there's another training center for the blind adults down there, the Patronato Luz del Ciego, which I've worked with a couple of people there in the past. And so we went down to see what they do, and they had actually had a carpenter build them workstations. So we liked that idea and found a carpenter right across the street from the Helen Keller School. Actually, there was workshops there that built stuff for the government. The Helen Keller School being a government entity, we talked the guy there into building these workstations. Took him down the Patronato, showed him what we wanted. He made a few, you know, drawings, and now we're paying for it. But he's going to build them, and we're hoping, because they're right across the street, him or his staff will be there to repair them as they break and, you know, need adjustments or whatever. We ordered 7 computers, desktops, you know, with monitors, 3 large monitors, 4 not so large, and Windows 7 in Spanish. And those are in. My friend Mauro Avila, he'll be doing the training because he knows Windows very well and speaks Spanish. Our plan is to train about a dozen of these teachers, and then they'll be in that school, but also in other schools around the country that have, you know, a few blind students here and there. They'll also be taking 5 computers with them with workstations around the country, and then 7 computers staying right there. And in the future, we'll buy another 5 computers because we'll have 12 workstations at this computer lab. So it's really coming together. We've been talking about it for a while. The Elks are very charitable-oriented, and so they've donated money. And as we've told friends about it and emailed friends, you know, I've gotten just donations coming in. So we've just kind of got a group of people together that are going to be doing the work and doing the donating. And we think the end result is going to be a pretty nice computer lab. And we'd like to have JAWS, of course, but, you know, as you know, it's quite expensive. So we're going to start out with NVDA, you know, the open source screen reader. And my friend Mauro says he knows how to use it, and it works pretty good, especially for the basic stuff, you know, email and internet browsing. So we're going to start out with that. Also in the future, I hope to get him a graphic braille printer so we can do maps.
Oh, how cool. Oh, that's neat.
These kids have I don't think they have any clue about, you know, what the country looks like, what the world looks like, things like that, because I've never seen a map around there.
Now for this week's high-tech item, Ted and Mauro's virtual pencil project, which, as it says on their website, is to teach mathematics to people who are pencil impaired. And that includes the visually impaired, but also people with dexterity problems or severe dyslexia or any other reason why they can't work out a mathematical problem with a pencil and paper. So Mauro, can you talk to us about what the virtual pencil is?
Virtual Pencil, in fact, is an environment for write and read mathematics designed for blind people. It has right now 2 versions, 1 version for arithmetic and other version for algebra. Arithmetic is a pre-developed tool. It's very functional. I'm working on it, and it can work very well for arithmetic.
Arithmetic?
Yes.
So this is for lower level mathematics, the first version you're talking about.
Yes, elementary school. In fact, the software is designed for children, for small kids. They have some sound effects of Looney Tunes voices and things like those.
Mm-hmm. And then you have a more sophisticated version for higher level math, is that right?
The version for algebra is not so developed as the version for arithmetic. The version for algebra is they only give you the possibility to write and read mathematics, depending on JAWS. The application is not self-voicing. You need to have JAWS into a Windows computer to run the application properly. But Virtual Pencil for Algebra only give you the option to write and read. And if you consider that the other ways to do that operation are pretty, you know, unfunctional sometimes. For example, if you use a notepad to write equations, as I told you before, there is a point in which you start to get lost.
Right. It's hard to take large expressions and move this whole group of expressions someplace else.
Yes. Virtual Pencil gives you the possibility to do that what you are saying right now, to follow long expressions, to move a group of expressions together and edit it, to follow the resolution of equation of several terms. Right now, as a current stage, Virtual Pencil for Algebra gives you that possibility. But it needs more development, it needs to get enhanced to allow blind people to enter into more complex mathematical stuff. as calculus, trigonometry, logic terms, and this can give you a world of possibilities, for example, for high school students or college students to enter into different professional fields. Because, for example, in my experience here in Panama, you have a lot of very smart blind people who can enter into technology fields, but they don't do it because they are afraid about mathematics. And moreover, some people persuade them to avoid those kind of careers because they tell, hey, you know, you are blind. Mathematics will be so hard for you. You better study laws.
Right. So hopefully tools like this virtual pencil will enable blind folks to avail themselves of these more technical jobs.
I hope so.
What is the time scale of these? This is something you're working on, and I assume that you don't have a lot of time because you're finishing up your master's. Is this something you think you'll dedicate more time to when you finish your degree?
Well, right now I'm writing my thesis. I hope to finish my thesis before May. So I can dedicate my time, for example, to finish my degree and continue organizing the project for Virtual Pencil. I need to set a schedule for this, but we are facing the next year to continue it.
That'll be terrific if you can make that work. That'll be a great tool for a lot of people.
Well, I hope so, and it will have a lot of job to do also. Well, you know, it's something that needs to be done.
And if you want more information about the virtual pencil, you can look at www.hentermath.com. If you want more information about the Helen Keller School for the Blind in Panama, you can go to www.iphe.gov.pa. And that's actually a global organization talking about all sorts of services for the visually impaired in Panama, but that includes the Helen Keller School. As usual, if you missed any links that we've given, they'll be in the show notes, which you can find on our website at www.eyesonsuccess.net. That's it for show number 1313. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking with Sina Brahm, who's a graduate student doing studies of human-computer interactions and doing research about that topic and, in particular, how it impacts people with visual impairments. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, formerly known as Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook at Eyes on Success and on Twitter at _EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.